Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a 5-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's Rinse.com.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Live Show on your Friday afternoon, previewing round 4 of the footy. We've got lots to talk of too, and we're going to answer all your questions and preview the big boys. Let's go!
Hodges done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Round 4 live preview. I am your host Mitch Casey and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy, and I am joined by the tech guru, the man behind all the buttons and all the goings on, Luke Rogerson. How are you, mate?
Good. That is a moz. This is something will absolutely go pear-shaped now, but I'm feeling pretty smooth.
Hey, we've off to a pretty good start, I reckon, in terms of tech issues for 2025.
Oh, no.
Just keep throwing them in there. Just moz all day. But, mate, we have another big round of footy coming up this weekend. We had a game last night. Both of you and I don't think managed to actually watch the footy last night. So
no, we were out and about living life, which is unusual for us when there's footy on.
It is a bit unusual, but, you know.
We'll trust in the community, I reckon.
In the community.
I reckon there are a few people that had eyes on the game.
Didn't have a VC on, didn't have anyone who was super unique, so I felt like, you know, let's have a bit of a break from footy last night. But there are some things to discuss from last night's game.
Indeed.
Including a couple of scores from players that a lot of us have traded out in the last couple of rounds that were, look, I don't want to say that they were, you know, blowing us away, but it would have been nice if they did this 2 weeks ago.
This was always going to be the case. The week that I chose to trade Ollie Hollins was always going to be his best score.
Two goals
to get there. Like I said, we didn't watch the game, but just looking at the score was enough to make me absolutely filthy. And Harry Perryman was the same as well. A lot of people have traded him out in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and then he comes out and gives us the score that we wanted from the start as well. So I'm just hoping that these are flash in the pans.
Yeah,
and we've still made the right decision.
Look, I don't think we need to be too like, oh shit, I shouldn't have traded him out. Like, I don't think this is going to be like, if a 95 is really the thing that you're kicking yourself for, I don't think it's really anything to be too worried about. I mean, Jordan Ngoe was a tactical sub last night, so that might have ate into Perryman's CBAs a bit more. He only had 10 CBAs, 76% time on ground. So I don't think he is the pick that we want him to be. And if you traded him out and you're kicking yourself, I think it's all good. I think it was still the right move in the long term to get these players out, and we can just forget about them now. I think it's not going to be a rush to get them back in my opinion.
Some decent scoring last night. One guy that I was quietly happy about at three-quarter time was Adam Chera. I wasn't cheering. Yeah, it's just a reach, wasn't it? I wasn't cheering.
But that guy was right that said that you
I've lost my touch.
Your dad jokes. Come on down, man.
I'm in a slump. I'm in a shooting slump. What do shooters do? They shoot their way out of shooting
slumps. Just keep shooting, mate.
Get shots up. But I wasn't sharing it at full time. He managed to get his weight at the ton with a big last quarter.
He's still doing really well. I think, actually, I know some people have been frustrated with him, but I actually think the chair is doing exactly what you could have hoped for so far this season. So, if I was an owner for Adam Chera, I think I'd be very happy with him so far. TDK, some people went the VC, the big boys readers from the Patreon, patreon.com/ballboys. Hopefully, I think all of us would have had other options higher on the list than TDK. So, but obviously, you're not taking the 82 points that he put up. So,
it's a bit annoying that his opponent went nuts.
His opponent did go nuts. Dusty Cameron, 126. So,
it was just the tackles and the marks that was the difference, really, between them.
Yeah.
Because they had similar disposals, similar hitouts, and then I think Cameron to six
and five, and then 2 and 2 for Deconing, which is not like Deconing. Normally, he gets involved in those categories. So, bit of a quiet night. So, we'll talk about some big boys later. So, hopefully, if you did go TDK, we can give you some big names that you can fall back onto.
I don't think there's too many Dan Houston owners out there, but if you are, you're going to have to shift because I think
could this be a Perryman goes back to fix up Dan Houston now that he's out for 2 weeks?
It'd make me sick. But I thought the most fantasy relevant thing out of this was actually a low score, and a low score for Nick Dacos, because if you have a look at the run that he's been on, he had one big game.
Yeah, the 135 before his bye.
It was against the Bulldogs, so it's probably the one really decent matchup that he's had. And then he goes into Sydney, Brisbane in the next two. I reckon this guy's going to be ripe for the picking. He's going to be under $1 million, I reckon, by the time
he's going to be under $1 million next week. Like, his break-even, he kind of reset it a little bit. It was back to, like, 92 or something like that. But then, he's gone 20 points under it again. And I think, so next week he's going to be under $1 million.
Yeah.
Walking into a tag again.
I reckon come week 7, he's going to be the worst kept secret in fantasy. He goes Essendon, Geelong, Frio in a 3-game stretch, and I think that we might be looking at him as an upgrade option.
Yeah, 100%. I think that will be a fairly popular move come that time. But let's talk some teams, and we're going to start with everyone's favorite coach and favorite club. It's the Geelong Cats. They're up to their tricks again, I think, Luke. So
they're working their groovy voodoo.
So Tom Stewart is back again. Guess who's back?
Guess who's
Tom
back?
Tom Stew's back again. Easy back.
I think.
They can't do this 2 weeks in a row.
Nah, not 2 weeks in a row. I think he is back. If you held, hopefully you're going to get a game out of him this week. And then for us non-owners, we're hoping that cash is just going to plummet.
Yeah, I think so. And it's definitely someone that I am keeping an eye on. So I do actually hope he does play. The other thing that we found out, I think this was found out yesterday, Mitch Nevitt is out with plantar fasciitis. They're calling it managed on the app, but I did read somewhere, I don't know, that it is a plantar fasciitis. And I wonder if that is why he was the sub last week. You know, maybe it was bothering him a little bit. They just thought they'd easing through, but it's flared up even more. So
he's a trade now.
I think he's a trade.
If you did hold, even when you found out he was the
sub last
week. That is
the biggest rotten luck story of the season so far, I think. You know, if you traded into him, he was a great trade-in. Say you were out living life, which is what the weekend's for, and you missed the news. That is gone from a great trade into just a horrible, horrible luck story. So I feel for people who did that. That sucks. SDK... is there rucking again? We've got no Stanley. However, the word is on the street, Luke, that Stanley was one of the only players in the emergency that didn't play the VFL today or yesterday or something. So he's going to be the traveling emergency. So
that's worrying.
Is this a classic Geelong late in?
This could be the classic Geelong late in. Now, if you own SDK, I don't. If you've got better trade out plans and you're happy with your trade plans, I don't think him coming in necessarily makes you change your whole weekend plans. I think this is one where you can get away with seeing it for 1 week, and if it's what we expect, which is SDK playing more back time and Stanley obviously taking a ruck share, I don't think it's going to kill you to have SDK there for 1 week. But if you're in quite a luxurious position and he was already kind of, you were umming and ahhing about your trade plans, then I reckon you're watching pregame very closely tonight.
I think what I am going to be doing, and what I might encourage other people to do if they have the ability to, is put him on the bench and put the emergency on him. And we've got a couple of those Essendon boys that you could use as a bit of a loop option. And if he sucks, then you can have a punt with a Luke Trainer or someone like that to go on your field, or a Sam Taylor in your case.
Yeah, I've got buddy. I can Lupe Fiasco here, mate. It's, anyone could be a loop option. It's that shit.
But I think there could be a case where maybe we're jumping in shadows, and you know, he still has a great role. He's coming off a 66, which is not ideal, and it dropped off my team last week, and it is a tough matchup regardless. So he definitely is an option to be traded out, but with a break even in the 50s, I don't think it's urgent compared to some of maybe that are other options. But yeah, it'll just be humorous if we see Geelong do the same thing second week in a row.
Matty Crouch is managed this week,
yeah,
for Adelaide. I was sort of thinking about this one, and Adelaide have got a decent matchup for midfielders in the Gold Coast, and we've got captain options there in Dawson, maybe even a Rankin if you don't have a Dawson. I don't really know how much Crouch being out impacts those two players, because I think they're getting what they were going to get anyway. I think this is the case where maybe you just have somebody that wasn't really playing many CBAs comes in and fills that role.
Yeah, I think that someone could be a Sid Draper, potentially, because he's looked good in the limited time. Three vests in a row to start the year. I would have to think he's out of it, would be my opinion. And look, break even of 27, 352K. It kind of sucks that he's gone up a little bit in cash.
Such a waste break when this shit happens.
So it's not one I'd launch on this week. But even if he does have a good round, he's going to be like close to 400, maybe over 400K next week. And it'd be tough. I think it might not be too late, but he's always going to have that vest risk hanging over him, especially if Crouch comes back in, obviously, next week. So it might be one that we just don't ever get to. But
at least for him this week, he won't be sitting on the bench.
Crouching on the bench?
No, sitting. His name's Sid. Oh, my goodness. Fucking underappreciated. Overworked and underappreciated.
Yeah, look, that one did go right over my head. But Finn O'Sullivan is out as well for the North Melbourne Kangaroos with illness. So it looks like it will be just a one-weeker thing. Yeah. Well, some people were getting frustrated with him anyway.
They were. Is this one of those ones where if you were thinking he might have been part of your trade plans, this is just the excuse you needed? Or
it could
be.
Or do you
think it's a bit knee-jerky to be ditching him?
It could be if he was already in your trade plans. If he was not in your trade plans, I wouldn't be changing my plans to get him out.
Yeah.
If you've got other urgent things to fix up, I think it's just going to be a case of 1 week out, he'll be back next week, and yeah, hopefully he's back in time and plays enough games to get that defender DPP, because apparently he's pretty sure thing to get that if he plays enough games.
Hey, we like that. We like that. Let's pause our chat quickly because Dave has snuck in with a super chat. We appreciate you, Dave.
G'day, Dave.
He says, loving your work, lads. Thank you very much. How many
our work
rookies...
rate, mate. He loves our work rate.
Oh, work rate.
Yeah, we're working hard over here.
I need to get my glasses on so I can actually read what's going on here. How many rookies should we have going into the best 22? He was thinking of a double downgrade to generate some cash, but how far is too far?
I don't know if I can answer the should, but I know I will have, I'll have four, but I might even potentially next week, depending how things go, be happy to go to five, maybe with a Deconing down to a Bice and a Fraser up. I'm not 100% sure if that's what I'm doing, but I think four or five will be where most people is.
Yeah, so anything other than anything over five, you're starting to get a bit
hairy. I think you get six and it's like, okay, yeah, you start to put one too many more. And even if you have like two, then I would question the mid prices you've got in there, like two or three. I think that's, you've probably got some pretty dodgy midfielders in that case. So I reckon about four or five.
Four or five, the ones that are the best ones too.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not wanting to be playing.
Yeah, you got your Ashcrofts, your Moraes, so you're not wanting Davidson, like those
Stony
sort of types.
Boy and whatnot on field, or the Foss on field regularly. So make sure they're the good ones. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
100%.
For sure.
Thank you,
what
Dave.
What else do we have in team news?
Other team news, we've got a triple debutante action happening at the West Coast Eagles. So Tom Gross, Sandy Brock, and Hamish Davis all set to debut for West Coast. I think the only player that I have heard anything about is Tom Gross. It's an unfortunate last name, but his scoring is not gross from what I hear.
This is good.
So he's a basement price, I think midfield option. So definitely someone to, I don't think we're launching with some of the better options this week, but could be someone we just have a little look at next week.
Okay. Grouse.
Grouse?
Isn't that mean like good?
Does it? I don't know.
I think so.
You stumped me there. but sure, say it with enough confidence. Butters is back.
Butters is back.
Does he walk straight into a tag? They're versing St Kilda. Does Windhager go straight to him, or are they giving it to Rosie? Or
it's Horn Francis. Horn Francis tags himself.
Yeah, that's so fair.
He's that bad, mate. You've watched him for the last couple of weeks. He does not need a tag. I'd still go to Butters. Butters is such a gun. We love Butters.
He is so good. I think they're going to go Rosie, and maybe if Butters gets off the chain, they swap it.
Butters will get off the chain. He's a moist operator.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, we'll see. But it is interesting just to have that other option come back for some of those other players in our Port Adelaide for our fantasy teams that might make the tag interesting. Jack Steele still out?
Steele out.
So you know what this means? My boy, Hugo Garcia.
You're the best.
Come on down.
Oh, God, your coaching's good, mate. How did you turn it around?
I'm just such a good coach. You know what I did? I made a call and I said, someone just go and just give Steele a little hit on the leg and, let him take it easy for a couple of weeks and get my boy Hugo in there.
Hugoing into the midfield.
Hugoing big on my fantasy team.
Let's go.
I'm expecting another 100. Otherwise, I'm going to be very disappointed. So that's obviously good news for him. Tougher matchup, though, this week.
We still got to watch their extended bench, but because...
Yeah, so let's have a look at that now.
Isn't there a sneaky big boy? And when I say big boy, I mean a tall boy lurking on the extended bench.
Yes. Harry Boyd hasn't quite made the cut. He is the emergency.
See, what I was just selfishly hoping for was that Boyd comes in and then Sherry's are laid out and everyone has to go to Marshall and he plays forward again.
So evil.
Let's go.
It could still happen. I mean, he's the emergency. Maybe he's a late in.
Hey, could be my spicy take.
You know
this
who's
week.
Still there for the Saints, though? My other boy.
Oh.
Angus Hastie. Let's go.
Bend over and pucker up because you are Kiss, mate.
I reckon he's every chance to take that O'Connell role. Maybe it's a bit more of a defensive.
This makes me sick. You're the most Kiss man in fact. You are covered in hickeys. You're covered in Tom Hickeys.
I had a red dot play last night in Lucas Camporeale. Bullets, mate. Bullets. Oh,
you're like Swiss cheese. God, stop finding holes.
And the other one that I wanted to have a look at was the GWS Giants. I was a little worried about Cornerstone, but it looks like he is there and named. So no dramas there at all.
Never in doubt.
Never in doubt. Solid as a rock, mate. Solid as a rock. keep doing that one. It's gold. But other than that, there's the Sunday teams, nothing too extreme. Elijah Hewitt he's out injured. For anyone who had him on their bench, he is, maybe someone that is one of those red dots that I'm not sure when he's going to be back or how many games he's going to get. So potentially a fix-up option there, depending on the rest of your team. So that is it for the team reactions.
Ooh.
Should we get to that that next big segment that comes up that everyone's clearly hanging around and waiting for?
You got your goggles?
I do.
Let's go.
Woo! Let's go round four, the big boys. And I won't lie, Luke, the number one guy.
Don't lie. I'd hate if you lied.
The number one, as I look at the big boys on my run sheet from last week, it's all good because I've got the list.
You've got to memorize, mate.
I've got the list up here in the Patreon. The number one big boy this week, I think, is a fairly obvious one. It's unfortunately someone I do not have. It is Dane Zorko. He is going to absolutely feast against the Richmond Tigers this week. If it was any other team, Luke, I would expect any other team, if they just got carved up by Jack Sinclair, half-back type,
goodness.
40 touches, dominated them, I would expect any other team to maybe go, oh, there's a Dane Zorko coming in who could do the exact same thing, maybe worse. Let's maybe put someone next to him. But not this team. Not the Richmond Cones.
Not the Tigers.
They don't care. They're going to let him have 50. And Dane Zorko will oblige. And he will have 50 touches. So
yep.
I think he's a very, very high ceiling potential number one big boy in this game.
I reckon the ground suits him as well. Because they're playing down at the G, aren't they, this week? So
they are,
I reckon
there's going to be wide open spaces.
There's going to be expanses. He's just going to be just
love the crowd
prancing
there.
Around. And plus sixes galore.
Yeah, so he'll feast on that one. Number two, I think this might be a little spicy because of his last couple of weeks, but on the matchup, especially if someone doesn't come back in, I have Max Gawn at number two. Ooh. In a big bounce back game. The last three games, obviously, to start the season, Luke Jackson's gone 94. Rowan Marshall had that big 142, and that was after he had 60 the week before.
Yeah,
he did that, looked like he was limping around as well. And then Darcy Fort only had the 77, but he had 39 hitouts. Jesus. That's Darcy Fort. Imagine Max Gawn walking in there. He's going to have close to 50 hitouts.
Yeah.
He starts that game walking in there with a 50 already.
Yeah, he won't have to fight for him like Fort did.
And against Geelong, who also give up points to midfielders and disposals, tackles, he has a very high ceiling, this one. So an excellent VC option, I think, tonight if you didn't put it on TDK last night. So I think he rewards owners for being patient.
If Stanley's a late in, do you pivot away from that or do you maintain?
I still think you go with it. Okay. I actually don't know if it's that much of a deal, like a game changer for me. Max Gawn is under the pump a little bit from, like, you know, national media, from normal footy media. And he responds to things like this when he has a couple of down games.
I haven't opened my beer. What the fuck am I doing?
Bro, you're quenched.
Oh my God.
This is not good signs of your round.
Classic camel behavior. I just got too caught up in the fantasy.
Your players are going to see this.
I might show myself out. God, this is why I don't have Hugo Garcia. That guy doesn't drink enough.
I'm not being coached
by that spud.
Number three, the second Brisbane Lions player. I've got Josh Dunkley in this spot here. I've got him a little bit further away than Zorko. I just don't think he's quite as thirsty as Dane Zorko. And this kind of a matchup, maybe not as piggish, but he is a guy that can sneak forward and kick goals. And there'll be lots of goals available for anyone versus Richmond. So he's at number three. Number four, I have Tom Green.
This is self-indulgent.
No, this is going to be a bloodbath. This is going to be... I mean, they're debuting three debutants against GWS, who... they're debut and debutants. I don't know what else you do with them. But against a GWS team who are playing good footy, give up a shit ton of points to midfielders... They actually are. They give up the highest amount of points in marks and kicks. And if Tom Green is kicking and marking instead of handballing and not marking, he's going to score, man. He is going to score big. So he is number four. And at number five, I have Jordan Dawson against the Suns. The really good thing about the Suns is they don't tag. And Jordan Dawson going up against the Suns without a tag, without Matt Crouch, he's going to get high CBAs. He is at number five. I think that top five is very, very solid. I like all of them quite a fair bit. The other thing is the little flag on Suns is they're actually the most restrictive team so far this season. However, they've only played two games, and the games that they've played, they've won by an average of 72.5 points.
You don't expect that to be the
case. So I don't expect that to be the case for Adelaide. I think it's going to be a much closer game. And they've only played West Coast and Melbourne were a rabble when they versed them. So
that'll be a good game.
I don't think that's a stat we can really rely on too much.
Now, Mitch,
this week, the big boys, top five.
Well, this week, I don't have any of the top five big boys, but luckily, I'm a paying member to the Patreon. Mm. I actually am a paying member to our
you
own
actually
Patreon.
Are. Yeah, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know.
And I'm paying more than everyone else.
Yeah.
So you're paying. I signed up in US dollars.
You signed up in US dollars. You're paying yourself. Patreon's going to get a cut of that. So we're just losing money. I don't know why you're still there.
The benefit is that I get to see the full list of the 10 big boys, so I know where to position my C's and VC's.
I'm going to, you know, ignore the fact that you could have seen it anyway. Just ask me. But but yes, you will be able to see that. So there are quite a few popular players, I think, in that next little bracket. So if you want to get the full list of 10, head over to patreon.com/ballboys to get the full and extended list of the big boys on your Thursday afternoon before the first game of the round. We've got one more segment before we get to these questions, Luke.
What do you reckon? Some La Spicy takes?
La Spicy.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Let's go.
All right. Do you want me to go first or do you want... Because I've got two. Well, do you want to go one?
No, you can go first, mate. You can go first.
Well, I know you had one, so I'm actually going to go with my second one here.
Oh, okay. You're going to let me. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the second one here.
I appreciate you.
And I think the horny boy, he got a rocket this past week. And I think he bounces back. I think he goes 110 and punishes anyone who's traded him out and rewards those that have been patient. He's still a good player. He's still, just loving your own gear.
Checking the audio.
So I think Horn Francis goes back to you know, his premium ways and scores a 110 and gets us, you know, or those who have him, you know, breathing a little easier.
I'm hopeful. He's a good player at the end of the day for all the shit I've talked about him. He's a good player and he needs to show that.
Yes.
Now, my spicy take, I'm ever the optimist.
Yep.
And I'm ever selfish.
Yeah. That's what this segment is actually just
for. It's a little bit of me time. our round this week, we're not going to know how we went until Sunday evening.
It's the last game.
And when I say we, I mean you and I, because yes, we're both stupid enough to have Tim English and Andrew Brayshaw.
Hey, he's been all right.
Okay, well,
it's been all right.
Andrew Brayshaw instead of Dawson, you'd admit that's been stupid thus far.
Thus far, yes.
Outscored by about 20 points. But my spicy take is that we finish the weekend strong, okay, because both Brayshaw and English are going 120 plus.
Both of them?
Both.
Okay.
English has the easy matchup this week in Luke Jackson, Greg. And Brayshaw is coming up against the Bulldogs.
Who just gave up 135 to Nick Daicos.
Pretty fruitful.
Yep.
So, hey, it might be an optimistic take, but 120s to finish for the boys, and we're coming home like a house on fire.
Absolutely. I did a little experiment in the preseason where I went...
Get your spicy takes below.
Yeah, drop the spicy takes in, guys. We love reading them later on. It's always a good time. They can be optimistic, pessimistic, just completely out there. It doesn't matter. Drop them down. When I did this like little exercise in the preseason,
It's funny, you don't exercise.
Yeah, I live for exercise. Fantasy exercises. I was doing the big boys for the first five or six rounds because I like to sort of map out.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another. And don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation. But then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a five-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at rinse.com. That's RINSE.com.
Okay. Is it worth paying for this guy to be a captain? Am I actually going to use him as captain? And I marked this round down for Tim English because he loves the Frio matchup.
Oh, okay.
Funnily enough, I think he actually prefers going up against Sean Darcy because Sean Darcy just can't keep up with English.
This is true.
So I wonder how the
wombat trying to keep up with a llama.
It's just like dum de dum de dum. This llama's running off ahead. So it'll be interesting to see how Luke Jackson goes against English and if that is a harder matchup for him this weekend. But you obviously probably can't go there with a captaincy because you haven't seen anything from him so far. But let's get to these people's questions, mate, because we love to do that. Spend a bit of time doing that throughout the week and we'll do it again tonight.
Indeed. Make sure, because we just do kind of go from the bottom. So if you've asked a question previously.
I just want to shout out the Fantasy Fanatics here, which I'm assuming is Bales, says, spicy take Ryan Marish to ton up once again. Do you want to start there just talking about Ryan Marish just in general?
He's a name on everyone's lips. We've talked about him a little bit this week. I feel like I'm going to pass this week. I think it falls into like the double downgrade category. A lot of people want to get Marais, and then with their other trade, potentially they're getting Marich. It's one of those ones, as the weeks progressed, I don't want to talk anyone out of it. And seeing him, I just saw something on Twitter where he was interviewed.
Yeah, he was having a chat about his change of position.
Yeah,
and all
he mentioned that he's been working on the craft and that this is obviously what we should expect from him, a little bit of waxy boy stuff, which gives me confidence. So I'm not going to talk anyone out of it. I might get burnt by not going there this week.
Look, I think he's definitely an option. I think he's not a must-have by any stretch. But I think he's definitely an option, you know, especially if you want to go down from like a Sanders.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely a good play to do. Maybe you can get him and another rookie, cash yourself up. I'd rather do that than like a Finn O'Sullivan sideways move.
Yeah.
Because I think there's every chance that Sanders doesn't score as well as Marich. Plus, you're making the cash. You're going to get Finn O'Sullivan back next week, who's still got a low break even. So I would rather do that than sideways a rookie that maybe you're just frustrated with, like a Lawler or a Finn O'Sullivan or these other guys that are maybe just slow burns. So I think that's a better move than that. But I do think maybe red dot fix-ups or an upgrade of some kind might be more my speed, but it depends, I guess, on how much cash you're holding and what you can afford to do.
So my situation might be similar to others out there. Talk me through. I'm currently getting Rankin, basically. I'm whole and story locked away as a trade out.
Yeah.
I'm getting Rankin in.
Beautiful.
Is there a justification to just pocket a heap of cash and get Marich and then do like a double upgrade next week? Or is Rankin's coming in for a good matchup, you would expect? He's a top six forward. He's a captain option even this week, potentially. So
I personally would just get the upgrade done. Get the upgrade done this week. And who knows? Like, we might have some other options. I know, like, for example, I think Josh Smiley is debuting in the VFL this week. So he's someone I'm definitely keeping an eye on, and someone I'd honestly be happy to launch into without seeing anything. You know, what does Tom Gross do this weekend? Is the score you know, similar to his name, or is it better? What does Bice do? I know you're not trading in Bice, so you'll have a lot of other options next week. So I think while that upgrade is there, positive matchup, no Matt Crouch, like it's ticking a lot of boxes. And like, to answer questions about Rankin that might be coming, he is my number one trade target. If you can get Rankin as an upgrade target, and you don't have him, obviously, even if you can afford more or better, I'm still Rankin is the number one guy I think I'd be targeting.
Yeah, for sure. Talk to me about Lindsay. So Brendan's got a question about O'Sullivan or Lindsay out first. Let's just talk about Lindsay specifically because it's come out that it's 2 to 3 weeks. I think we're in that range.
Yeah, they say 2 to 3.
I thought that's what I heard earlier in the week was 2 to 3. So is there any scenario where you hold, do you think?
Oh, I think there's lots of scenarios you hold. I would like to hold him. I won't be because the trade I want to make requires me to have just a little bit more cash. Otherwise, I would have traded out Camporeale last night. But I'd trade Finn O'Sullivan out first. There's a chance that Finn O'Sullivan misses the same amount of time as Lindsay. And you just ask yourself, who would you rather have in your team when they're back? It's definitely Lindsay. And so if you can make the same trade that you wanted to make on the other side with Finn O'Sullivan as you could with Lindsay, then yeah, I'd get rid of O'Sullivan before Lindsay for sure.
Nice.
But I think, yeah, if you can hold him and still make a trade you're happy with, I would hold. I'm not holding because I can't do that. But I wish that I could because I think he's still going to make a lot of cash. And I think he's going to be a good on-field option when he's back, especially if he stays in that defense, man. Like, he was starting to play off that halfback, and that's going to be an awesome, awesome role for him.
Agreed. Okay. What do we think? Hall or Langford as a rookie trade-in?
Hall or Langford? So Hall's now getting a little bit up there. Max Hall, 416K. He still has a negative 16 break-even against Port Adelaide, which is actually a better matchup for forwards than basically any other position. But is it too late on Max Hall? I quite like him as a player.
Really like him, but I'm liking him from the perspective that I already own him. If I was now having to pay, what am I paying for him now?
416 versus Langford is 335. So you're saving, what, 80K?
What did Langford do?
Langford scored a 75, I want to say. Yeah, 75 in his last game against the Suns. 66% time on ground.
Is he out of the vest, do you think?
I think for now he is.
Yeah.
I think he could find himself back there. I am not as bullish on Langford as I think some others are. I know he gets CBAs, but sometimes for these 19-year-olds, that inside midfield role is actually not as good as a high half forward or a wing.
Yeah, we've kind of seen players in that rookie.
They normally play low tog.
Yeah.
Get rest. It's physical, man. I know he's a big guy, and that, you know, they get rests and things like that. I'd almost go Hall instead of Langford.
Yeah, I think it's a fair summary.
You're going to get a quicker price movement, even though he's more expensive.
Yeah.
It's the last week you can get Hall. You might have another opportunity next week for Langford.
Matt wants us to rank some defenders here. So Sinclair, Wang and Holmes. I'll take a page out of your playbook. I learnt my lesson on Wednesday. Holmes is the cheapest of those three guys, and there's every chance that he scores in line with them. So he's had a poor tagged score. You obviously mentioned on Wednesday night when we were doing
so two tons and stuff. One tag scored a 77. He's averaging 101.
Holmes. And then would you, Wang and Sinclair, flip
they're
a coin?
They're so hard to split. I think that for the rest of the season, Wang's going to score more than Sinclair. I don't really have much evidence to point to as to why. I am concerned. Maybe it's the preseason was a bit interrupted for Sinclair, and eventually it'll catch up to him. And I think Wang just being younger, getting improvement. And I've also seen Wang score really well. He hasn't dropped below a ton. He went 113 in that game against Adelaide when they got smashed. And Saints have had two wins in the last 2 weeks. I don't think we're going to see as much of that. So I have more confidence in Wang's ability to score better in losses than I do Sinclair's ability. So I think I would go Wang ahead of Sinclair for that reason. But I would agree with you. I'd have Holmes ahead of both of them. Save the 60K and have a better trade next week. A
few people pointing out that the official word on Lindsay is the 1 to 2 weeks. I think I said 2 to 3. So
yeah, I thought that was a bit.
Somewhere in that range, but you don't know how cautious Melbourne might be.
I expect two, to be honest. And I have no sources on that. I'm expecting two, or I'm at least expecting one and a sub, either sub to begin with or subbed out. I think they're going to be cautious with him.
Yeah, I agree.
And why wouldn't you be? Like, you're 0-3, he's your gun recruit. Like, why risk it?
Yeah, you're not going to bother with that. You're a big boy expert. Is...
Yeah, I'm also good at captains.
Ah, nice. Could Finn Callahan be a sneaky pod captain this weekend? Says
he could.
Jesse.
He could.
But he's not.
He's not. But This is me just not being a Callahan guy.
Yeah.
But he definitely could. I would struggle to have him higher than any other, like, other player that you might already have. But he could definitely be, I'll say he wasn't in my top 10, but there's definitely world where he goes 120 or something like that. I'm not sure he has a much higher upside than that.
Yeah.
He doesn't tackle, doesn't mark. He'll get 35 and maybe kick a goal and score 110, 115.
But can I counter that and say that you've just described Tom Green and he was on your big boys?
No, Tom Green tackles. He tackles. And he gets 45 touches.
God.
Not 35.
Bending it to suit. Bending it to suit if ever I've seen it. Garcia, you're his master coach.
You go.
Popovich, your master tactician. Yeah. You can't trade him. You can't trade him back in now.
No, I don't think you can trade him in. It's more just for us kissed folk that didn't trade him out. Like, he's 480K. I would go to Ryan Marich before I went to him, who's 490K. So you're spending, 11K more to get Ryan Marich, who's playing half back and they've both got low break evens. But yeah, I'd probably go Ryan Marich ahead of Hugo Garcia.
Alex wants to know here, I've dropped my mic, sorry. Alex wants to know, we're trading Sanders to Marich or Garcia. Sanders to Marich, Garcia or Langford, one of those three options.
I think it's Marich.
Yeah, I kind of I like the Marich option there. I know you're not pocketing as much cash, Alex, but as the week goes on, I'm getting more and more nervous about not trading in Marich. I think that there's a situation where he starts.
What does he have to do to, like, really hurt you?
He could fall into that category of, like, we missed Riley Bonner last week and last year, and you're wearing a hat. So, but
in a West Coast team,
I'm not
St Kilda team. Though.
I'm not saying that he's that, but yeah. I'm just saying that he could fall in that category where he's very good for everyone that owns him, but he doesn't, like, particularly kill people that don't own him.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So if you pick him up this week, or you even picked him up last week, and he just stays in that role, and he stays in that role, and he keeps pushing out 80s and 90s and the occasional ton, like, it's a great pick.
Yeah.
But it might not hurt everyone else.
Justin's got a question here that I think you might be able to answer here. Is it silly to think of trading out Frazier before SDK if there's no Stanley for Geelong tonight? I think this is what you're thinking too. Like, I remember you saying this on the Wednesday pod.
Well, I don't have Frazier.
I know you don't have Frazier, but, like, if you did, would you trade out Frazier ahead of SDK? I mean, think about who's got the better role.
Yeah, SDK's definitely got the better role. I don't The timeline, there's timelines on both, let me say that. I think
both need to be traded at some point.
They do. So I think Frazier is likely to... His expiry date, I think, is in 2 or 3 weeks when we start to see Bulldogs midfielders come back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but even still, like even in the meantime, he's like 30% CBA, scoring 60s and 70s.
Yeah, SDK does have the better role, and until Stanley comes back, that he does have that better role. So I think I can make a case for moving Frazier first.
I think I could too.
He was a tough watch for you last week.
Yeah, I can't believe I came home after my delicious dinner and saw the last 3 minutes of that third quarter, and I saw him everywhere.
Well, it wasn't your birthday yet. That was the problem.
Yeah,
your birthday
see,
was
I
the
went a
next
bit early.
Day.
Yeah, and I saw him everywhere. I saw, oh, here's a mark. There's another mark. Okay, great. He's got 12 points in at least 3 minutes here, and he had 5 points for that entire quarter. Oh, it just didn't make any sense, Luke. It didn't make any sense. Anyway, yeah, that killed me. What's another question for me here?
What do we got? Or could you potentially bring in Maric and Garcia and miss out on Moraes? Nah.
No.
Moraes over Garcia for sure.
I'm pretty strong on the fact that I think Moraes is one of those rookies that's a can't-miss type rookie. I know people are concerned about Butters coming. I actually don't think it affects him at all. I think he's on the wing, and that's his wing now. Like, they moved, is it Burgoyne? Like he was down in the back line. I think he was on the wing before. So I think that's been a bit of a, like, he's actually moved Burgle into the halfback, and Burgle looked good in that role.
Yeah, I mean, even when he plays a bit of wing time, he spends a lot of time deep in defense.
So
well.
I think Moraes is someone that I just don't want to miss. Like, if he puts up a 70 this week, he goes up $100,000. And I think that is very much within the realms of possibilities. He's versing St. Kilda, Luke.
Yeah.
They give up marks for fun.
I'm hopeful that they will continue to do that.
Yep.
Alex has got a bit of a complex one here. So he's locked on one of his trades, but he wants to know the second trade. So either Foster Marriage or Foster Bice, and that would require him to play Lawler. Or this last option would be somewhat appealing, I'd reckon, is SDK to Holmes.
Oh, that's a tough one, because there's those first two are hard to split, because Marriage and Bice...
The answer to that is Maric, because Bice you don't feel so bad about getting next week, whereas if Maric continues to do what he does. So that's the answer to me. But I'm more interested in the, like, would you get aggressive and go SDK to Holmes?
I don't think so.
The SDK role until Stanley comes in is a solid role.
Holmes is like a smidge of value, but I don't think he's like the guy where you go... I have to get him. Like, I'm saying go Holmes in the defense if you're going that way, because he's the only defender that I think is going to average more than what he's priced at. Like, Sinclair, Wang, Zorko, Sheasel, they're all priced either at or over what I expect them to average, whereas Holmes is the only one. And he's only a price under what I think you can average by, like, 2 or 3 points. So I don't think he's the kind of guy that you have to force that and miss out on some of these big cash generators for. So I think... I'd hold on to SDK for one more week, and maybe then you can go to a Stewart next week.
What about Bice versus Langford? I'm probably Bice in this case.
Yeah, I'm Bice.
Yeah. And
I think I'm pretty down on Langford.
He's playing, like you said, he's playing a more difficult role than what we would typically hope for rookies to score in, I think.
And it sounds weird because he's like an inside mid. But he had a great, great game last week, and he scored 75. I almost kind of see that as... close to his ceiling. Just with the time on ground, it's so hard. I mean, unless you're Hugo Garcia and you've got my coaching behind you, it's hard to go big that type of time on ground.
Fuck, you're good. Okay, we got a couple more questions in. Let's just give a sneaky insight into the land of the big boys. If you went VC last night on TDK, is there anyone that you would put the captaincy on tonight?
Well, it's Max. He's my number two.
For maybe people that don't have Max. I'm trying to share the love a little bit, a little sprinkle of love.
All right, a little scoop. Number six is Bailey Smith.
Okay.
That's as far as I'll go. That's as far as I'll go. The patrons, they deserve the rest of it. But number six, I have Bailey Smith, who we all, absolutely all of us should have.
Yeah.
If you do not have Bailey Smith in your team...
pack up.
Get him in... right now. Stop what you're doing. Pause this podcast and go and get Bailey Smith in your side. There should be no excuses for anyone to not have Bailey Smith. And so at least maybe, unless you have Max, I'd go Max ahead of Bailey Smith, put a VC on him tonight.
Okay. Get on over to the Patreon, Buzz. Not only big boys, but plenty of content coming out throughout the week as well. Brayshaw. A couple of people asking about Brayshaw. Trade in target? Yes. No, maybe so.
Yes, I think he is. Well, he's gone 120, you said.
Well, it is. It is a spicy take. But this is like, we talked a little bit about this earlier in the week, but this is the classic thing in fantasy is you're not trying to pick what's already happened. Everyone can pick what's already happened.
Yeah.
You're trying to pick what's to come. And so if you're trading in guys that have hurt you to this point, if you're trading in Dawson, you're conceding defeat and you're not gaining any ground on the people who are already ahead of you because they already own the best players or the players that have previously
performed the best. The people in the top 1,000 right now are there because they picked Dawson over Brayshaw.
Yeah.
Like it's been a three-game
So if you now switch so Brayshaw to Dawson, you're not making any ground on
it. No, you're conceding defeat.
You've got to try and find where that next run is coming from and who it's going to be.
So Brayshaw's priced at 102.5. He is. I thought he was cheap price at 104. He is now cheaper. He's lost like nearly $70,000, and he's got Bulldogs this week who won't tag. Then they've got Richmond, I believe, next week. It's an excellent time to get someone in who is definitely a captain option next week, maybe even a captain option this week at a cheap price.
Okay, Scooya has snuck in with a super chat. We appreciate that. Thoughts on fading Rankin this week for Marich instead? This is kind of the conundrum that I am faced with as the week progresses.
So this is where I think, right, so Rankin is priced at 88. I think there's potentially 12 points of value. I think he can average 100. Do you challenge that?
Yeah, I think he can average more if he keeps playing the way he is at the moment.
Let's say he's 100 averaging player.
Okay.
12 points of value. I would definitely argue that Marich is more underpriced.
Yeah.
So Marich is, let's say he's maybe 25. So he's priced at 50. I think he can go 75.
Yeah.
So say he's a 25 points of value player. Would you rather a 25 points of value on a mid-pricer or 12 points on a premium? I'm choosing the premium every day of the week because I don't have to worry about that while I'm in upgrade season.
That's where you're asking what's
one less
worth.
Thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the logic is sound there. You're locking away a top six forward for sure. And then I think the good point that you made is it's the time of the year that you're costing yourself that trade. So you're talking about upgrade season when it's literally a race. We've got a race, everyone else, to try and get our team completed, essentially.
Yeah.
And so if you, like you said, if you've got that one extra thing to worry about. The only thing that I can say where if you go to Marich, I feel like you really want to do a double upgrade next week. I'm feeling like if you're doing Marich, that's your second trade.
Well, you'd want to make at least a big upgrade, like maybe a red dot to a premium or something like that.
Yeah.
Well,
does that put me a week ahead? Like, let's say I go Rankin this week, I consider that an upgrade, and able to also go and upgrade next week. Then I'm ahead of that person.
You're a week ahead. I think at that point, as long as you're getting a player that you still like and you're not compromising on that, I think there's also room if you were to do an upgrade this week that maybe you can still do a double downgrade next week because you are that week ahead. And say we get Smiley or, you know, Gross comes out and kills it, or you really want to get him biased and you missed him this week. There's a lot of options this week for downgrades. Like, there's nothing stopping you from doing that, and at least this round, you get the more points. Like, there will be more cash-generating options as the season comes. We can't 100% say there's going to be a top six forward priced 12 points below what we expect them to do at any point this season.
That's a good point. We might finish on this one. Hey, let you guys go and have a fiddle because Bales wants to know what's for dinner, baby. Are we going expensive steak? Are we going Dirty Bird? Or should we get on the Harry Perry Perry Perryman hot Nando's?
Mate, we both went out for dinner last night, so I'm forced this Friday night.
Don't tell me
to cook.
Oh,
I'm cooking tonight.
Let him cook.
Yeah, and I'm making dinner. No, yeah, but
what are you having?
We're making a red curry.
You making tonight. Enough to share?
Oh, we might be able to. Yeah, if you want to come around and cook.
I'm always cooking, baby. I'll get Dirty Bird. Stuff that red curry. No, sir, not a Friday night, baby. Yeah. Wicked Wings. Let's go.
Let's quickly, before we sign out, Sam's got a question here. Lindsay to Marich or X to Roma and Jason Horn Francis. Oh, and Jared's chipped
sorry.
In too.
Okay, we've got to keep going. People are sneaking in with super chats. Thank you, Sam. We appreciate it. Lindsay to Marich.
We haven't talked about X, actually, because he's a bit of a topic.
Okay, X marks the spot, or it doesn't.
Are we jumping at that shadow?
We are not, because we don't own him, Mitch. But I would just keep my pivotability open up until that game.
So does that mean you're not going Lindsay to Marish because you've got to do Lindsay to Marish tonight? I don't think you're doing the other options. I think Lindsay to Marish is probably the best option of those three.
Oh, God, you'd be burnt if you... We don't have a backup ruck. It's a donut. It's a straight donut. Look, I don't... Yeah, I'd be shocked if he's a laid out. I'd be shocked if he's a donut. And then if he plays, you've got to roll the dice, even if he shares a bit
it's
more time.
It's best 18. Bench time.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Do the trade you want. Do the trade you want, Sam.
I'd go Lindsay to Marish. Let me just remind everyone, the last time we all jumped at a ruck shadow, Max Gawn, fitness test before the game.
Yeah.
Comes out, pumps a 150. I think we've got to take these clubs, unless they're Geelong, and it's not Geelong. We've got to take these clubs at face value and these uber premiums. Look, if this hamstring wasn't a thing, there's a very good chance X would have been top five or six in my big boys. Like the matchup against Grundy, Grundy's been actually leaking points this year. It's not a scary matchup that it once was last year. He's looked a bit off. So I think unless we get some more information before this trade has to be locked in, I'm tempted to just hold him. Best 18 can save you worst case scenario, but I'd hate to trade him out and he comes out and he does what Max did last year after his fitness test.
That's true. You don't run with your hamstrings, right? Jared, thank you for your super chat, Jared. Last one. Okay. Hey, fellas. Second trade is either Lindsay to Marich or O'Sullivan to Bice and pocket some cash. Or I think he's got another option. O'Sullivan to Hallworth. Option is O'Sullivan to Hallworth.
Hall with no cash left.
Like, who the fuck's Hallworth?
Yeah, Hallworth.
Hey, sneaky debutant.
I'm probably going to have the Bice option there. I think you're trading O'Sullivan ahead of Lindsay. Because O'Sullivan...
No, I'm not. Should I be?
Do you have... You got O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd trade O'Sullivan before. But can you still do your trade?
Maybe. Fuck, I better get on and I better have a fiddle.
Well, there's every...
I'll play with my team too.
keep double dipping, mate. Double dipping. Let's go. Like, O'Sullivan could be gone just as long as Lindsay's gone.
He's just got a cold or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, and almost Lindsay, just got a little sore knee.
Lindsay basically had his leg amputated the way he hobbled off.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people wanted to trade out O'Sullivan as it was.
I wasn't one of them. I thought he was going to come good.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to go okay.
I thought he was going to go O'Sullivan.
No.
That's probably where
keep warming up.
That's probably where we finish it.
Yeah, I think that's where we'll finish it there, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. Make sure you give this video a big old thumbs up. And if you're listening along later on audio, give our podcast a 5-star rating and review. And again, shout out to everyone who's a Patreon member. But if you want to join in, get some extra exclusive podcasts, articles for trade targets, big boys, all sorts of good benefits in there. Head over to patreon.com/ballboys. And we'll see you guys on Monday to review round 4. Bye.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a 5-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's Rinse.com.